Welcome to Unraveling Karma, a podcast to support you in deepening self-knowledge and making changes for the better. My name is Tom Jacobs, and my work is in evolutionary astrology and intuitive counseling. You can find me on the web at tdjacobs.com, where I offer some articles, astrology basics and FAQs, and links to my blog, monthly column, and lecture workshop recordings, and also where you can order a true Black Moon Lilith natal report. This is the second episode of Unraveling Karma. The backbone of the podcast is listener charts, answering questions, helping people not only unravel their karma, but also teaching the general public about what karma really is. The first listener question comes from Felicia in London. Her birth data are June 1st, 1972 at 7:12 p.m. in Singapore. If you want to hit the pause button and go drop the charts, you can follow along. And if this question does involve the true Black Moon Lilith, so the easiest way to find that is under the extended chart selection at astro.com. And on the extended chart selection page, in the lower left-hand corner, there's a additional bodies and asteroids text box where you enter H13, and that's the true Black Moon. If you use the Lilith option in the text box above, which includes Chiron, Vesta, Ceres, and other bodies, you're getting the mean position, the averaged position, and you don't want that. So H13 in the little text box below that. So Felicia writes, I'm going to paraphrase because her question was kind of long. She gave me a lot of background info to really make sure that I could see what was happening. She writes, after reading your Lilith report, I revisited something I was semi-conscious of. Could Lilith and Scorpio in the 12th be a reason I make men blithering idiots? What she means is that she seems to confront men in a way that makes them uncomfortable, but it seems to influence them to lose their intelligence, integrity, and consistency. So the example that she's writing about is her experience in an academic program. Each of her advisors, she had the experience of essentially being let down. It sounds as if this took place in each and every way a student might rely on an advisor or mentor. So she's asking about this Neptune-Lilith in the 12th, because her understanding of Lilith in the 12th is that we're not that conscious of it, and Lilith being this wild woman who threatens civility and order and threatens other people, she's wondering if that's the source of this this inspiration, where all these men around her just become blithering idiots. But the pattern is deeper. There's a lot more involved. Lilith is involved, and I'll come to that the second part of the answer. The first part is that the South Node ruler, Moon, because you have a Cancer South Node, is on the North Node, conjunct the North Node, in Capricorn in the second house. With the North Node in Capricorn in the second house, a major life lesson is in learning self-reliance. Now, the South Node in Cancer in the 8th indicates a karmic history of being bound to the will of others, to circumstances that arise when we're in intimate situations with other people. Now, traditional astrology says that the 8th house, intimacy, is about sex, and then death and other people's money or shared resources. But what's underneath this is intimacy, which is honesty, being available at our most deepest levels to other people. So the 8th house is about arenas in life when we're as honest as we get, when we're stripped of pretense and are energetically, emotionally naked. So this is playing out in your academic life, I think, because this is where you're most open to seeing the pattern. With the Capricorn Moon on the Capricorn North Node, you're going to manifest situations in which other people are unable to care for you. At the soul level, you have asked to learn to take care of yourself, to be independent, to be self-reliant. And the universe is responding by giving you opportunities to see how your old habits, which are your Cancerian 8th house conditioning, or karma, isn't serving you, and actually that it can't serve you anymore. The 8th house South Node says that your comfort zone, your habits, are in working closely with others and in relying on them, and the North Node is about self-reliance, the second house. With the Moon conjunct this North Node, you raise the stakes on your growth in this life. Essentially, you're saying, my happiness depends on my ability to be self-reliant. the trick for any of us with balancing the nodes is in taking what we do well that's associated with the south node and taking it in the direction of the north node. You've been seeing in what ways you can't rely on other people. Now, I know that in academic situations you can't do it all yourself, but being fully reliant or self-reliant would mean making sure your needs are clear, making sure that you're taking responsibility for what's important to you, but that means communicating it. So it's not only in making sure that the people you're dealing with do have integrity and honor your goals and can work with you on your level, but more importantly, that you need to be clear about this with them. So what I recommend is to take all of your mastery in understanding other people's emotional realities and motivations and how to bond with them, which is what you know from this Cancerian 8th house south node, to ensure that your relationships serve and support you in where you want to go, which is this second house, your values, what you think is important. And because in academia we can't do it all alone, it's a perfect learning lab for you in particular to see in what ways you need to grow. So the second part of the answer is does involve Lilith, as you asked. The first thing I see about this is that this Lilith-Neptune conjunction, Lilith in Scorpio, Neptune in Sagittarius in the 12th, that they are opposing your Mercury-Saturn conjunction in Gemini in the 6th house. And the Sun is brought in there. The Sun is at 11 Gemini with that Saturn. So in you, there is an argument about 6th house stuff, 6th house Gemini and ways of being, which have to do with a flexibility in methods, a flexibility in how things get done, a willingness to adapt to evolving priorities and work hard. And your Sun is there. So this is how your whole project, your whole personhood is maintained. It's underlined and maintained. The Sun should be the person in the meeting in our psyche that's running the show. So this is your sense of self. It's wrapped up with Mercury and Saturn in Gemini in the 6th house. In you, there's an argument with that, this kind of detail-oriented, responsibility-oriented, hard work ethic business with these symbols together, opposing Neptune and Lilith, this true Black Moon Lilith in the 12th. So you're right that this Lilith business does have to do with what the effect that you seem to have on these individuals. But so the solution, though, is inside you, because there's this apparent argument. What Lilith and Neptune in the 12th want is for you to let go to how the greater flow of time and space work. Basically, to open up to other ways of being. Now, in you, this is a conflict. And because of that, you're going to draw other people to you who oppose your Sun, basically who show up to you. You know, Neptune in the 12th can be a marker of, like, one of the manifestations is a little chaos. Lilith in the 12th with Neptune, uncontrollable chaos, but also with a kind of a wild edge. Felicia had also written me that she had several years ago begun as a Zen meditation practice. And I suspected that in that kind of slowing down and being observant, that it wouldn't solve Lilith issues, but it would bring her attention to them. She would be able to make space in her consciousness to be able to have them come up, because Lilith in the 12th with Neptune is a kind of a signature of the perception of not being able to put your finger on just what Lilith is about in Neptune with the 12th house. And so in your psyche, there's a tension between this interest, this need to basically give it up to the greater, you know, the greater whole. You're going to experience it as a fear of chaos, especially opposing this 6th house, Saturn, Gemini, Mercury, Sun conjunction in the 6th, which is all about control. So what you need to do is to allow this other part of you, the Lilith Neptune in the 12th, which wants to let go of all boundaries, to connect you to the natural world, to find your spiritual connection via the natural world, via your ability to connect with the natural world as an extension of it. That's the influence of this Lilith on this Neptune. You know, with Neptune, it's our chance to have direct experience of other realities. And so, of course, it can manifest as addictive behaviors and all kinds of escapist behaviors. But really what you're craving with this Neptune in the 12th is to connect to some greater reality. And you're craving it to be wild, to be intense, to be primal, and to be based in your instinct. And because it's, again, opposing this conjunction in the sixth, this stellium in the sixth, it's going to challenge who you think you are. So relieving this tension in manifesting people who kind of appear as idiots a little bit, or people who seem to become idiots in your presence, because I understand you're not saying they're idiots. It's just they seem to act that way when they're around you. Relieving that tension in you, in your outer life, is going to rely on relieving the tension in your inner life, which is giving Lilith and Neptune in the 12th stuff to do. Thank you for sending that question, and I hope that's helpful. The second chart I'm going to work with today is the chart of a friend of mine that I recently reconnected with. We check in a few times a year and have hours-long conversations to catch up about everything that's been happening. And she just told me a story that about what's been going on in her life that reflects changing karma, that reflects choosing different behaviors than she feels programmed to choose. So I thought it would be an interesting exercise to tell you this story. Her birth data are December 15th, 1977, in Leicester, England. That's Leicester, England. The time of day is 12:05 a.m., so just after midnight on December 15th, 1977. And feel free to hit the pause button to go draw up the chart and take a look. This chart uses, or I'm using in this explanation, the asteroid Arjun Suri. And that's asteroid number 20300 for those of you who feel like drawing that up. And yeah, that might be the only non-usual thing that I'm going to use in this one. So the first thing is to look at her karma, to look at her conditioning, what she thinks is happening, what she thinks life is all about. Her south node is in the sign of Aries in the seventh house. Aries in the seventh house has to do with responding to other people's needs. You know, she has in many lives majored in learning to balance in relationship, learning harmony, learning all of the seventh house things, learning what fairness is really about and how to go about creating fairness. You know, when we have a seventh house south node, you know, it's an indicator that we've done a lot of this. We usually have a tendency to overdo our willingness to create fairness and harmony. So we have to then learn again how to stand up for ourselves. So you come in with the Aries, or I'm sorry, the first house north node. Now, square her nodal axis is a retrograde Mercury in Capricorn in the fourth house that's tightly conjunct the asteroid Arjun Suri. So squares to the nodes have to do with unresolved issues. When we talk about changing karma with squares to the nodal axis, we're talking about learning to make different choices with an energy that we don't fully understand. So we've habituated ourselves into making certain choices that get us where we don't want to go. And then doesn't feel resolved. We haven't, in her case, she hasn't fully integrated what she needs to learn about a retrograde Mercury and the asteroid Arjun Suri in Capricorn in the fourth house. How this manifests for her is in speaking up for herself in her family, speaking up about her needs and her true identity in her family. So we know what Mercury is about. And the asteroid Arjun Suri is about the development of the relationship with conscience. You can see on my website a link to a podcast with astrologer Dina DeCastro, where she interviews me about the asteroid Arjun Suri last October. You can see that on the currently on the articles page. So, to whom does she listen, and whose agenda is she serving? Is basically you know, the Arjun Suri and Mercury thing here. So for her to speak about her needs, for her to develop her voice maturely to develop, you know, to mature in her voice, being willing to speak up for herself as an adult in her family system is a critical growth for her. The story she told me, oh, okay, and then, sorry, let's go back to the nodal structure. And then you have Pluto in Libra on the first house north node. So what it tells me is this together, the south node, the square to the nodes, and the square of Mercury and Argent Sagittarius to the nodes, and then Pluto on the north node and Libra in the first house. What this tells me is in karmic history of adapting to what's happening with other people, she did not feel the captain of her own destiny, Pluto on the north node in the first house. But also, and one thing that vexed her, one thing that got in her way along the way, is this Mercury Argent Sagittarius not speaking up for herself or not really honoring her own conscience, her own inner guidance system of what she knows she's really about, what she knows is true, and what's important for her to say about her real self in the fourth house, and also a lot to her family. So the story she told me is that she'd had a breakup with a guy that she thought she was going to marry, and it was kind of sudden, and it was very upsetting. And in the fallout of that, she was having dinner with her dad, who they happened to be in the same city for separate professional conferences. And she was having dinner with him, and she just said, "I need you." And he didn't really know what that meant. And she had never said anything like that before. She said, "I'm having a hard time, and I just need you to support me. I need you to be there for me." And he looked at her. He didn't, you know, this is not the level of dialogue they're used to, because she does not speak about her needs. Her karma is that she believes she shouldn't speak up about her needs because the needs of other people, 7th house south node, are more important. So it's kind of a speed bump that we have to realize is only 4 inches high. It might, from a distance, look like a wall, a very tall wall or something. When we're right up against it, try the opposite, it might look like it's huge. And then actually, when we're traveling over it, we realize it's only a few inches high. But she has to make a different choice. So she says, she spoke from her heart and she said what she needed. And in a few minutes, he responded, and he was able to give her the kind of fatherly advice that she perhaps always needed. But as long as she didn't speak about what she needed, and she wasn't honestly representing herself, look at this link between the 7th house of other people and our relationships, the 4th house of our true inner nature, and the 1st house, this standing up for ourselves and being who we are, independent of other people. See that link in there? She's got to use the 4th house to get from the 7th house to the 1st house. Now, as soon as she does that, as soon as she speaks up for herself, she is manifesting this Pluto in Libra on the 1st house north node. What she essentially did is stood up for being a Pluto in Libra figure. She basically spoke her needs, this fourth house thing, which got her to the first house, where she has begun to have this ripple effect with her parents, with whom she hasn't had absolutely open communication for a few years. And she's basically turning into a heart-centered leader. And she's kind of just starting to watch this happen, and it's kind of a new world for her. But she just did this with her parents, where she absolutely shifted their dynamics by choosing to stand up for herself in a compassionate, loving way, which is you know, Pluto, as the deepest desires of the soul, has to do with creating harmony and achieving fairness and balance in relationships. So this she in one fell swoop, she met a Pluto need, a soul healing need, as well as a north node situation, because Pluto is on that north node, her most challenging growth avenue in life. And she also learned how to make different choices about speaking for herself and representing her own needs in her closest relationships. So I do want to point out a progression that the progressed ascendant has been on this Pluto for, I'm just looking at it, maybe a couple of years it's been with an orb. And so it's been critical for her to figure out how to integrate this Pluto in Libra in the first house into her life. It's been, you know, with progressed ascendant, we're talking about our evolving style and how we need to represent ourselves, how that changes, how that evolves over time. So it's come to her to learn to bring her Pluto out. And so as she becomes what I keep calling a heart-centered leader, because that's something that we really need. By doing that, she's serving all of these different needs of hers. And I've used her chart in a talk I've given called Unraveling Karma, because over the last, I've known her for 7 years, over the last few years, I've really watched her without knowing anything about astrology. So you don't really need astrology to do this. If you're willing to see what's really happening, you're willing to observe your own patterns, your own assumptions, and your own beliefs, and then if you're willing to take responsibility for, challenging your beliefs a little bit and saying, maybe this isn't how things really are, but this is how I think it is. You know, challenging them and learning to make different choices that work for you instead of just repeating patterns, then you're changing your karma. So for a number of years, she's been an inspirational example to me of how you can change your karma, and she knows nothing about astrology. It's just one vocabulary we can use along the way. So that brings us to the end of the second episode of Unraveling Karma. I hope you have enjoyed it. You can find me on the web at www.tdjacobs.com, and I have articles and recorded talks and a true Black Moon Lilith Natal report and many other things, including my schedule, upcoming talks and workshops. Thanks for listening. And if you have any questions you'd like addressed in future episodes, email me at karma@tdjacobs.com. Take care.